Glory to God. Well, I want to share with you a couple of things today. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's always interesting. Find verse 31. It's always interesting. I had prepared diligently last week concerning this message, and it was toward the latter part of the week that I woke up from sleep in the morning, and the Lord spoke to me and talked to me about sharing this particular message with you. It was not particularly a Sunday morning message, is what we would call from a minister's perspective. And yet, you know, when God wants a certain thing ministered, then it becomes that becomes the message. Isn't that good? And so we are endeavoring to obey God today concerning what he has shared with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then if you turn over just a few pages to 1 Corinthians 14:1, we read this. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And so I'm simply calling my message this morning, Desire Spiritual Gifts. And I want to encourage us today to not be satisfied with a life that is less than what God has for you. I, as many of you know, grew up in Old Order Amish denomination, and the first 20 years of my life lived in that setting, and we never, sadly, I'll say it this way, sadly, we never saw one prayer answered in church. We did not know that God would move supernaturally. We did not know the power of God was available today. We did not know that God was moving in the earth today. We read about it in the Bible, and that seemed to be good enough. And said that all to tell you this, that my first experience in a Spirit-filled meeting was quite eye-opening for me, in a crowd about this size in a hotel ballroom and in 1977. And the speaker was somebody I had no clue who it was, somebody named Copeland. I had never heard of him before. Didn't like him because he was so long-winded. I don't know what he preached about that day. I was just thinking about wishing I could get out of there. It was on a Saturday night of all things. And I was berating myself for having gotten talked into going to church on Saturday evening. And I was glad that some of my old friends weren't there to see me. And nothing seemed to touch me in any way until at the end, you know, he announced that he was closing. And I thought, well, that's great. We'll have one song and then we'll be out of here. But that's not the way things happened that night. That night, Brother Copeland began to minister by the gifts of the Spirit. And the word of knowledge came forth through him, and he said, there's a man here, you have had a severe sinus condition all your life, and he said, and God is healing you right now. Well, that caught my attention because as far back as I could remember, I had respiratory issues, sinus conditions, and year-round, and had some surgeries, and nothing seemed to help, and I remember taking a deep breath and thinking to myself, probably not me. It shows you how much faith I didn't have. But I never had it after that. Never had it after that. And I have to tell you that God was trying to get my attention. How many of you know God will do things just to get your attention? Look at your neighbor and say, pay attention. God is wanting to get something to you. And so we got to listen. God knows how to get to you. God knows how to speak to you. God knows how to stop you in the direction that you're going and say, hey, this is the way I want you to go. And so I walked out of that meeting that night. I didn't understand what happened. I didn't understand how one person in the middle of 3,000 people that I'd never met could know that I was even there. And I mean, I'm not at the front. I'm two-thirds of the way back, and it was more, the room was more long than wide. So we're way back. And I knew he couldn't see me. It kind of spooked me. You know what I'm saying? And I'd never been around the power of God in that sense. And so, but I promised myself, you know, I'll never go to a meeting like this again. Never. Then the gentleman that that took me, he offered to buy me some dinner. And so I said, okay. And so we went to this truck stop and we were eating dinner, and a couple of my old buddies came in from the pool halls and the bars, and they saw me and said, hey, where you been? And I said, well, I just decided to do something different tonight, and I was trying to play it cool, you know. And Blabbermouth, that was with me, said, you should have been there. Said, we saw people get saved, we saw people get healed, and we saw people get delivered. And their eyes got as big as dinner plates, and they didn't walk out. They backed out. They backed out of the restaurant, and they're looking at me like, we feel so sorry for you. Then they came in, saw me, talked to me. Didn't even stay for dinner. They just turned around and got out of there. And so I promised myself I would never be around Blabbermouth again either. And it wasn't until, that was in February of 1977, and it was in May of 1977 that I actually had an experience, born-again experience with the Lord, where I came to the Lord. Actually, at 10 years old, I had a born-again experience, but in May of 1977, when I was 22 years old, or in my 22nd year, I wasn't 22 yet. I had an experience with the Lord where I rededicated my life, and then two things happened after that. Blabbermouth and I got back together, and we went to meetings like that again. But the thing that touched my heart was the power of God. I found out that God is real. I found out that God cares. I found out that God loves us. These were all foreign ideas to me. I did not know. And so I remember diligently seeking God. How can we operate in the power of God? How can we be people who move in the gifts of the Spirit? It didn't take me long to figure out that what had happened to me was one of the gifts of the Spirit, gifts of healing in operation, and the word of knowledge in operation. And so I was fascinated by that. I had a desire to know about these things, because you see, that changed my life out of something average, mundane, routine, same, every day is the same. And we have to realize that, you know, without the power of God, without the gifts of the Spirit, without the Word of God happening in our life, things will be the same. Things will be pretty much tomorrow like they were today. Unless the enemy comes along and hands you something that you have no way of dealing with. Then things change, but not for good. Isn't that exciting? Well, it can get exciting, but not necessarily good in that direction. That's why, listen to me, that's why I feel like in my heart, it is time for the church. It is important for the church to be a people who are acquainted with the gifts of the Spirit, with the power of God, that we would have an answer for those who need help. The world needs help. You and I have an answer, and we should not try to hide that. We should try to share that. What do you do if somebody comes to you and they need help? And the doctor said, there's no help for you. What are you going to do? Just be sorry for them? Listen to me. Friend, I lived that way for 20 years. Sorry. That's all I had to offer. Sorry. And I don't know, you know, I guess sorry is good as it goes, is good as far as it goes, but it doesn't go very far. Doesn't help much. Do you see what I'm saying? But I found out that God wants to help people. God loves people. God is working to find individuals that would believe, dare to believe that they could be the vessel of God to touch a generation, to touch a city, to touch a family, to change a culture. And see, that's what's good about Rhema. We believe we can be that. Look at your neighbor and say, I think he's talking about us. I think he's talking about you. Now look at somebody and say, I believe he's talking about you. So you see, we've got to cultivate a desire to be used of God, for these spiritual gifts to be manifested in our lives, not to be afraid of them, not to be afraid of supernatural things, but to say, okay, let me be a vessel. It changed my life. I remember seeking God diligently for these spiritual gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I was woefully ignorant. I was so ignorant, I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. I didn't know. I was like the people at the church of Ephesus when Paul said, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we have not so much as heard there is one. I didn't know. I was ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12:1 said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. The Revised Standard Version says, I do not want you to be uninformed about these gifts. Weymouth New Testament says that you should have clear knowledge on the subject of spiritual gifts. The Bible in Basic English says, it is not right for you to be without teaching concerning these spiritual gifts. And so it is in this verse, and in this verse that we see gifts is really not mentioned in the original. It's in italics. That means it's not in the original. The translators put it there to help us to understand it better. If you actually read the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll find out it's talking about more things than just the gifts, but the gifts are included. And so we could say, certainly include the gifts in whatever spiritual things that Paul does not want us to be ignorant of. And so here's what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, Pentecostal people cannot be satisfied with the natural message. They are in touch with heavenly things and cannot be satisfied with anything less. Listen, my friend, if something can satisfy you less than heaven, then my goodness, something needs to change in our lives. We are not the Christians we should be. Oh, I know. I know that we need to think about some of these things. We need to wake up to some of these things and realize that God wants to use people, average people like you and I, to touch people. When I left the farm that I was never destined to leave, I never dreamed that God would use me in any way. Matter of fact, I was hoping God wouldn't notice me, because I was sure that he would find something wrong with me, and he probably had a big stick, and once he got my attention, he's going to give me a whack and send me into eternity. That's just the picture I had. Wrong picture. And so, we need to realize that we need to let God satisfy that big hunger that's on the inside of us. We got toys. We got all kinds of things today. We've got schedules, and we've got We've got achievements and accomplishments and all kinds of things. We've got a destiny to fulfill. And all of these things are good in their own way. But listen to me, none of it should take the place of God and the power of God and God using us to touch the people around us, to make a difference for the people around us. But you see, ignorance of spiritual gifts, listen to this, has robbed the church of what it could be. One day somebody asked a lady who had not been married, and she was a little older, said why she was not married, and she replied, she said, the Bible says, I will not have you ignorant, brethren. Now I think she might have misquoted and maybe misapplied the scripture just a little bit. But you know, listen to me. The point is, you can't walk in something you're ignorant of. Isn't that the truth? You can't walk in something. Sadly, today, you look across Church USA and you find that many people are ignorant of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit that are listed here in this chapter, chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. They have not been taught. They are uninformed. They do not have a clear understanding of these gifts. They have many have misunderstandings of the gifts of the Spirit. And so, let me just point this out. Here's a second thought for you, and that is this: spiritual gifts are real and necessary for the growth of the church. Look down in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And let's begin reading and through verse 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So these gifts can be are listed here. Nine gifts are listed that are called the gifts of the Spirit. These are supernatural gifts, supernatural workings of the Holy Spirit through individuals within the body and to the world. And so we have to realize that God is equipping us to be people who can bring spiritual things to people in need. One of the things that happens is that we sit back. We have a tendency to sit back and just let the other person do it. I know that I have to fight that. I'm content sitting there and let somebody else preach and somebody else do the announcements and let somebody else do this. Let somebody else go. Let somebody else, can I find, you want somebody, prayer for somebody? Let me see if I can find you somebody. Do you know what I'm saying? And the friend, perhaps that person comes across your path wanting prayer. Maybe it's because God wants to use you. Maybe God wants to use you. Look at your neighbor and say, maybe God wants to use you. Maybe God wants to use you in these gifts of the Spirit. Here's the thing that we can realize. Let me just give you a little rundown on the gifts of the Spirit here. There's nine of them. Help you to understand them. There are three that say something. The prophecy, a gift of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. These are gifts that say something to us. These are called the vocal gifts. And then you have three gifts that do something, called the working of miracles, the gifts of healings, and the gift of faith. They do something. That's where God performs something and does something. And then you have three gifts that reveal something. They're called the revelation gifts. And these are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. And I'm not going to teach you about them today individually because we would be here way too long. I would have to multiply some loaves and fishes if we were attempting to do that because you would get hungry. So we're not going to do that. But these gifts are for us today. God didn't list them to fill up the pages. But these gifts are for us today. Amen? And so there's a couple of things that I will point out. In verse 7, it says the manifestation of these of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. What does that mean? That means this, that the gifts are given for the common good of everyone and not just for one or two people at the expense of the rest. In other words, God does not bless somebody and take away from somebody else and cost. In other words, his blessings don't cost somebody something and the other person gets blessed. Let me tell you, God creates win-win situations. God creates win-win situations. He uses people. He gives people the privilege of being the vessel, and he gives people the privilege of being the recipients. Now, it just depends. At different times, it can be different people. A person could be a recipient. At other times, they could be the vessel. Depends on what's happening. Isn't that right? And so you need to realize that we are working together. This is for our good. This is not, you know, one of the things that I've seen happen throughout since 1977 is some of the powerful moves of God. And we've seen gifts of the Spirit in operation. We've also seen some things happen that were not good. And so as it is with any type of power, there's always a power can be a blessing and power can be misused, can hurt people. That's why we need to learn how to use these gifts in the proper way. Why? So that we can be a blessing and not hurt people. Isn't that right? And so God cares about people. God wants people to hear the truth. God wants people to be accurate in the gifts of the Spirit and in the operation of his power so that people can receive what it is that they need. And so these gifts are to be used for everyone's good. These gifts are to magnify, to lift up, and to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not to promote ourselves. They're to lift up Jesus. If somebody prophesies to you and say, yea, thou shalt have the greatest ministry the world has ever seen, you might as well forget that one. You see, that's lifting up the wrong person. The greatest ministry the world has ever seen is Jesus. That's already appeared. Amen. And see, now listen to me. Anytime that I hear, where somebody gives a word and it causes you to be the star and you get stars in your eyes, let me just tell you something. You might want to put that one on the shelf. Why? Because there's just one star in the kingdom. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if the word comes forth and prophecy or some gifts of the Spirit in operation to help you to become a better vessel, that's a great thing because that's what we are. We're vessels. Amen? I grew up on the farm. Excuse me. I grew up on the farm, and I want to tell you, one of the things I had to do every day was carry water to the chickens. 2 5-gallon buckets. Full of water. I had to carry two of them because if one of them, I didn't weigh very much, and if I just carried one of them, it'd tip me over. But if I had one on both sides, I could hold them up and just balance myself as I went. But you know, when I got to the chicken house and the chickens saw me, they came clucking and clucking and, you know, just making all kinds of sound. And I knew good and well that, listen to me, I knew better. They weren't happy to see me. They were happy to see what I had. And you got to understand something. When people start applauding, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about what you have. Amen. So we got to realize these gifts are not to lift ourselves up to build our great ministry. These are to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we have this great treasure in our earthen vessel. What is that? It's God living on the inside of us. It's God helping us, moving through us, coming through us. Glory to God, pushing back the darkness, pushing back the evil that's in the land. Let me tell you something. Where you go, there ought to be light. There ought to be a rays and beams of supernatural power going forth, coming through you. Amen. When you show up, there ought to be a difference. When you show up, things ought to change. Is
Some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a life that you and God walk together. God using you. You becoming a submitted vessel. What if God would tap you on the shoulder and tell you to prophesy? I'm not talking about predicting an event. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about a prophecy that comes forth that would edify and comfort and encourage somebody. Oh, I don't think I could do that. Well, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm encouraging you today to desire to be able to move in the gifts of the Spirit. I'll give you another piece of advice. When you start doing it, Lord, help me to just do it in my private life first. Let me edify myself first. Let me comfort myself first. Let me encourage myself first. Why? Because you need a little practice. And you know what I'm saying? I just learned, I'd kind of stumbled on that when I was young, and remember the first time that God used me in the gifts of the Spirit in the public was in a message in tongues. Thankfully, somebody else interpreted, because I had no clue what to do after giving a message in tongues. I didn't know much, just a little bit. But you see, now what I did after that experience, I went back and I said, now, Lord, I got to know a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? And so I just said, Lord, I said, just use me just in my own life. I said, I need to prove some of these things. I need to get used to being used by you. And so I would just be sensitive to God, and God would open things up and show me things, or you know, speak something in me, and I could actually encourage myself. And so these are good things to do. And so the correct operation of spiritual gifts, really, when you get down to it, is to build up, to edify, to help the church to grow. God intended for these spiritual gifts to help the church to grow. I'm talking about the church, the people to grow. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you may seek to excel. In other words, that word edification is a big word that we don't always use in every day. So let me read a couple of translations. Weymouth New Testament says it this way. Therefore, seeing you're ambitious for spiritual gifts, seek to excel in them to benefit the church. God's Word translation says it this way. Try to excel in them so that you help the church grow. International Standard Version says it this way, that you must keep on desiring them for the upbuilding of the church. Friends, you and I need to realize the church will never be what it needs to be or what it could be unless we have people that are desiring spiritual gifts in our midst. Friends, I've been to church, many different churches. I went 20 years to church and never saw one move of the power of God. I'm not indicting them. I'm simply telling you my experience. Do you see what I'm saying? I've spent the next 40 years of my life. I know, thank you very much. I know I don't look like I'm 60 years old, but I spent the next 40 years trying to get over the shock. I spent the next 40 years enjoying spiritual power. Being in a group of people like this that believe in the power of God, believe in the gifts of the Spirit, believe that God can use them. I thank God every day that God sent me to Rhema. I'm not talking about just to work here, but to get the message, to get this reality that God is real, that He cares, that He wants to touch our lives and change our lives, lift us up into something better. Friend, I'm telling you, we are among some of the best company that can be found in the whole wide world. Amen. And so these gifts can help the church to grow. You may wonder, how can that happen? Well, through these gifts, you know, these gifts say something, they do something, and then they reveal something. So you see, those are what these gifts do. They say something, they do something, and they reveal something. And so the leadership can be guided concerning what needs to be done. Through some of the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes we don't know. And so what has to happen? Well, that means then the Holy Spirit has to give us, show us some things, reveal some things to us. And sometimes the gifts are, people's needs are met by the gifts of the Spirit, as I was in that meeting in 1977, where the doctors couldn't fix what was wrong with me, but in an instant, God did it. People, now, don't check out on me on this next one. But sometimes people need to be corrected. Correction comes through the gifts. And I don't know about you, but God cares enough to correct us. He really does. I say this all the time, that God loved me and accepted me the way I was when I came to Him. But He cared enough about me not to leave me that way. Isn't that right? And through these gifts, God is expressing, I don't want you to stay the way you are. I've got something better for you. Isn't that right? And so sometimes people need correction. Why? And we need to be encouraged to grow up. How many of your parents have told you when you were a kid, you know, it's time for you to grow up? And we weren't particularly happy about that. You know, I wanted to play ball. I didn't want to take on responsibility. I thought playing ball would be a good responsibility. But you see, whether we like it or not, we grow up in the natural. And there comes a time when we need to grow up spiritually as well. And through these gifts, it seems possible, it becomes something desirable to grow up. To grow up. Why? So that you too can be moving in the things of God, not just watching on the sidelines. Listen to me, I've never liked being a spectator. I mean, I could sit there and let somebody else do it. I'm happy if somebody else is doing it. But on the other hand, I want to find a place where I can move too. I don't want to just sit on the couch. You know what I'm saying? God help us if we ever get to the place where the biggest thing we do all day is click the remote. You know, we just got to get beyond that. You know what I mean by that. And we've got to realize God wants us to grow up. These gifts can be operated through lay people as well as ministers. Sometimes people think that ministers are the only ones that should do it. Well, in a crowd of this size, here's why it should be operated through the platform so everyone can hear. Because if somebody way over there says something, has a word, the people over here can't hear it. So they're not edified. Seek to edify the church. That's why we have certain ways we do things in a big crowd like this. Amen? Hallelujah. I can tell that you're just totally excited. I think you're about almost taken over by the thrill of this what I'm saying today, and you're just not able to say anything. I can just tell. Now turn, look again. In verse 11, chapter 12, it says it this way. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So we could say it this way. Spiritual gifts are under the direction of the Holy Spirit. They're His. It's like me. I have a vehicle. From time to time, I might have somebody drive it. You know, give the keys to somebody to drive it, but that doesn't mean it belongs to them. It simply means that they have it for that moment of time. And so it's the same way with the gifts. I don't possess the gifts of the Spirit. None of us do. They belong to the Holy Spirit. They are the gifts of the Spirit. But from time to time, He comes to us with a gift and says, I would like for this to be used right through you. And in that moment of time, what a thrill. What a thrill. Isn't that good? And so we need to realize that. Some people think they have something they can pull out of their hip pocket any time that they want to, and or they can prophesy if you know any time they want to. My friend, it really doesn't work that way. I can tell you that. There are people that have doctrines like that, churches that have doctrines like that, ministers that would think, you teach that if you can prophesy if you have enough faith. Friend, the Bible says here, these gifts operate, listen to me, it says they work, the Holy Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. He decides. We don't possess the gifts, but we get used in the process of the gifts. Isn't that good? That means I don't have to, you know, it's like me. I go someplace sometimes. I don't have a cat or a dog, but I enjoy them, you know. And so when I go someplace, I enjoy somebody else's cat and dog. You know, I pet them. I'm friendly to them and whatever. But you know what I do? I get the best of it. Why? I get to leave and they get to take care of them. Hallelujah. Now I know you love your pets and everything, and that's great. But I just want to point it. My point is this. Simply, I don't have to take, I get to enjoy the moment with them, but I don't have to take care of them. Listen to me. Don't take ownership of something that's never been given to you. Just enjoy the moment when the gifts of the Spirit come through you. When the Holy Spirit begins to touch your life and begins to touch, move upon you to be used in that way. Enjoy the moment, but listen to me. It's the gifts of the Spirit, and he's in charge of that. And so this brings me to this question as I wind this up. Why don't we see more gifts of the Spirit? Why don't we see more people moving in the gifts of the Spirit? It goes back to some verses I read at the beginning. Verse Corinthians 12:31, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Somebody said it this way, the best gift is the one you need at the moment. And so we need to recognize that. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Listen to me. You've got to desire spiritual gifts. You've got the King James Version says, covet earnestly. This is one place where you're allowed to covet. You know, the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. And so we've tried hard not to do that. And I'm afraid sometimes we've applied it to some things where we are allowed to do it. We are allowed to covet spiritual gifts. That means to get an intense desire in you. Spiritual gifts, please. Why? Because I know I'll be better if I'm being used of the Lord or I'm the recipient of those gifts. Friends, it's not just in the church walls that these gifts can operate. They can operate out there on your business. They can operate out there in your families. They can operate, you know, in relationships. They can operate, you know, when you're out doing shopping or whatever it might be, or in school. You can have the Holy Spirit say something to you, do something for you, or reveal something to you through these gifts. Depend upon him. Look to him. Wherever you are, be sensitive. Learn to listen down here. Because you see, listen to me. I'm telling you, your life will be better if you become sensitive and desire. But you've got to desire these gifts. See, this is a church that desires these gifts. I'm just stirring you up. Why? Because you see, without, if there's no desire in a group of people, listen to this. Then there's no gifts operating. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to show up where he's not wanted. And so we have to realize that the Holy Spirit can manifest the gifts, but we've got to stir up our desire for them. I can't make the Holy Spirit move in the gifts. That's up to him. But I can stir up a desire for those gifts. I remember years ago I was preaching in a revival meetings in this one church, and some of my relatives were close by, and they came to be in the meetings, and they loved the preaching, but they didn't care for the move of God. And so I'm torn. I'm preaching and I'm sensing the gifts of the Spirit beginning to want to operate in my life. And so I've got a dilemma. I can either please my relatives or obey God. And so I'm preaching the word of God, but I've got this struggle going on the inside. What do I do? What do I do? Well, in the end, I just decided to throw caution to the wind, and I'd begin to move in the gifts of the Spirit as the Lord led me, and the power of God came, and people were healed, and people were delivered, and people had their needs met. My relatives weren't happy, but God was pleased. Because you see, listen to me. But you see, over the years then, see, some of those same relatives come to knocking on your door and say, we need help. So just don't have to worry about it. You know what I'm saying? We have relatives that as soon as something happens, they call us. They're not sure they want to be like us, but they call us when they need something. How many of you got relatives like that? Yep, we do, don't we? We love our relatives. And so if we ever get to the place of spiritual growth and level of operation that God wants us to be, we must have spiritual gifts and operation in the church. Smith Wigglesworth says this, we must beseech God for these gifts. It is a serious thing to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and yet be stationary. To live 2 days in succession on the same spiritual plane is a tragedy. So you got to, I'm just encouraging you today. I'm just trying to stir you up. Hey, lift your eyes. There's something here for you. There's something that God has for you. God didn't build a wall and say you're excluded. God didn't, divide you up in groups and give you numbers. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. And the twos get to have spiritual gifts and the ones don't get any. You know what I'm saying? No, my friend, we're living in an hour when we need supernatural gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church. Church ought to not just be some mundane thing where we leave like we came. It ought to be where we are released out into the world, and the world needs to look out. The devil needs to look out. Why? Because Christians are turned loose with the power of God. Stir it up. Ought to stir up your desire. If fear wants to grip you and say, get out of here, fear. We know fear's not of the of God, it's the devil. Isn't that right? We can't be satisfied with yesterday's experience. We can't be satisfied with just bread from yesterday's table. We can't draw back. Amen? We've got to decide to be a vessel. Number two, we've got to desire to be somebody used by God. Number three, we've got to determine to be somebody that God can use. I'm encouraging you today. Stir it up. Stir it up on the inside. God, use me. Let that be something coming out of your heart. God, use me. I'm kind of scared, but I know you can help me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure I know how to prophesy, but Lord, just help me to encourage somebody. I'm not sure if it's prophecy or whatever. Just help me to encourage somebody. Isn't that right? You ever walk up to somebody and something that you knew they needed to be comforted, but you didn't know how and what to say? God, use me to comfort somebody. Let your gifts manifest through me to comfort somebody. Amen? See, we're the church. We're not looking for the church. We are. We are the people. Listen to me. We are the people that God's using. I'm not talking about just us, but all around the world, people like us. We're not looking for somebody that God's using. We are somebody that God's using. Isn't that right? Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's talking about you now. Amen. So I want to encourage you tonight, today as we wrap this up, that God wants to use you. God has something good for you. And I want to tell you, if you've been afraid to draw close to God because you're not sure what kind of reception you'll get, let me tell you something. Draw near to him because he'll surprise you. He's got something good for you. He's got something good for you. I was afraid of God for many years. And then I found out it didn't have to be. Didn't have to be. He's my best friend. He's the one who sticks closer than a brother. He's the one who cares for me more than anybody. He's the one that will listen to me better than anybody. He's the one that stands by me when nobody else does. That's the God I'm talking about that wants to use you. Would you stand to your feet, please? Today, God is trying to give you something. Get you stirred up. Get your sights set on something that He's got for you. Be used of God. Be a vessel. Be somebody God can use. Amen? And so we need to recognize that. All right. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes, because I got a really important question to ask you today. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know Him? Have you ever asked Jesus to be your Savior? If you haven't, today is a great day to do it, because you're only guaranteed today. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I can tell you that with great certainty. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And today is the day to make a decision for God. And you can enter into the kingdom of God by accepting Christ as your Savior and coming in and entering in and become a recipient of the good things that God has for you. Maybe you're here and you've drifted away. You've accepted Christ, but you need to rededicate your life. You need to get back in fellowship with God. I encourage you to do it today while it is today. Why? While you have opportunity. Why? Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow either in this life. And I want you to be able to make an exit out of this world into a heavenly kingdom, into a heavenly realm, into the presence of God, into what God has for you. When the time comes, I want you to be sure of your salvation. If you're here today on those two invitations, I want you to slip your hand up just everywhere as we're looking around. Saints are praying. Just slip your hand up. Anybody else? I see a hand over here. See a hand over here. And others, I'm waiting for you. Lift your hand up. I'm telling you, God is waiting for you today. Maybe you're here today and you say, I don't have spiritual power. I'm saved. I'm walking with God, but it's so empty. I don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know anything about spiritual power. And you're saying, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. Would you slip up your hand? Also, we want to minister to you. We want to pray for you. Anybody in the room that wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today, this morning, you're saying, I'm tired of being weak Christian. I'm tired of being somebody that just goes with the currents of the world. I want to be a Christian that's got power. I'm waiting just a moment. If you raised your hand, and if you should have raised your hands, then I want you to do something really good. I want you to step out. I want to pray with you. And I want to minister to you. Would you meet me? I'm coming down off the platform. Would you come and meet me? And I want to pray with you right now. And come. Just come right now. Just come right now. Anybody else that would come? Anybody else that would come and join this gentleman? God bless you. Thank you, sir. With open and so we want to offer this to you. So we're waiting for you. We're waiting for you right now. Anybody in this room right now that would join this gentleman right here who has stepped out and making a decision. Glory to God. Anybody at all? We'll wait just one more moment. We're going to wait just a moment. God's dealing with you. I know He is.
Jesus is waiting.
Come.
So come, just as you are.
Amen. You can come up here right in the middle while I'm talking to this gentleman. You can come right on up. But ask if you don't want to come up by yourself, ask somebody to help you. I've got three books here. If I reach them out, you can take them just like that. That's a gift that I'm giving you. Okay? God wants to give you that gift today that you need. And so I'm just asking you right now to slip a hand up to heaven so that we can pray with you. Stretch your hands out to this gentleman that's made a great decision today. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for blessing this man, helping him to walk in the fullness of everything that you have for him, helping him know that Christ is his Savior, that he has assurance of salvation. We praise you for that, and let the power of God come on him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Greg's right there. If you'll follow him to a place of prayer, they're gonna. Amen. Let's give him a great big hand.